Our reading, where our encouragement comes from this evening, is from Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. It is a very short verse, which I know everyone knows, but there's something I want us to meditate on this. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Shall we speak to the Lord? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for giving us this opportunity to be alive, just like we have heard from different testimonies expressed in this place. We don't want to take anything, Lord, for granted. We don't want to take the breath we are having for granted. We don't want to take the strength we have in our legs to be able to stand for granted. Lord, it's not because we are better than another person who is in the hospital, but by thy providence and grace. And, well, Lord, you made it thus, that we are here standing in thy mercies. And we don't want to take that for granted, but we appreciate and we are so thankful for all these precious gifts that you've given us. And now, Lord, we leave all these things behind us, the business of the day, the works, and now we come to encourage each other in this time of fellowship. May you bless us, Lord, that at the end of this meeting, each one of us be able to experience that blessing of fellowship and hearing the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray with thanks in our hearts. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I've been thinking on this thought since, was it yesterday? Or it could have been the day before yesterday. Usually early in the morning, well, the church just being closed by here. Early in the morning, I try to come in the church hall here to just have some time to pray. My day goes very nicely and very well when I begin it with prayer, and not just a quick, what I call popcorn prayers. You just mumble and speak a few words and you say amen, and your mind is not even in tune with words you are speaking, and off you go after the business of the day. I'm talking about having time to sit at his feet in his presence, where you can worship him, you can meditate, and you can even hear his voice speak to your heart. I cherish moments like that. I find strength in that time. How many here can testify that whenever you start a day prayerfully, your mood goes well, your activities are blessed, you just feel a victory in your heart? Ever experienced that? Yeah. Now, what do you experience when you just start your day in a hurry? You haven't had time to speak to the Lord, and well, you feel you're alert and you're washing yourself up, and oh, let us pray. And you have a little word of prayer and off you go to work. Anyone who would care how your day usually goes when it starts in a hurry like that without spending what I can call quality time in the presence of God? Is there a difference you experience? How many experience that difference? Okay, I need one or two people to just share. What's the difference, Brother Teddy?
Time when I just walked up and then I was like, Father, bless me and support the church player. Then I went to
You just woke up and you said, Father, bless my day?
It was just a short prayer.
Short prayer. Ah.
Then what happened, it was that in terms of decisions, maybe making, maybe doing something, I was panicking.
Mm.
I
was panicking. Whenever you want to make a decision, you find yourself panicking.
I was panicking.
Mm. And when you start your day with prayer, what's your typical experience?
Many times everything just goes very smoothly.
Things go well. Brother Tenson, what's been your experience? Mm.
So, when I start with prayer, usually the environment and anyone who comes within my workspace is usually, they are responsive, usually good.
Mm.
Even if they were angry, when they come there,
mm-hmm. There's peace.
They just change. It becomes a wonderful experience.
Right.
But if I've not prayed,
bare
moods shows up there.
Mm.
You know, somehow you become a very bad one.
Yeah.
All of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
You delay them for 2 hours in just a few minutes.
Yeah.
So it's quite interesting.
That's quite something, Brother Chitoshi is telling us. I love the expression you use that when you've started your day with prayer, with the Lord, there is peace within your workspace, and that peace doesn't just affect you, but it has an impact on anyone who comes into that working space. In other words, around your environment and atmosphere. Anyone who would care to share your experience when you start your day intimately with the Lord, and what's the difference when you just walk into a day like it's just a continuation of yesterday? Any third person who would care to share an experience you've had? Is that a hand I'm seeing behind? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, now Sister Nora mentions something important, which is similar to what Brother Teddy mentioned. Similar, are you noticing the similarity? Similar to what Brother Chitoshi mentioned. The issue of, you mentioned panicking, right? Brother Tenson mentioned when he hasn't started his day prayerfully, people have moods. People easily get provoked. Sister Nora also mentions if she starts her day prayerfully, she's at rest. She's able to overcome whatever provocations may want to intrude into her space. What do you make out of all this? It tells you, although we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Correct? We walk in the flesh, but the kind of things we interact with, there is a realm which interacts with our minds and our thought patterns. And really, how you start your day, when you start the day walking with the presence of God, it really makes a difference. Now, I was telling you the other day when I was, I said it's usually my custom, I want to start a day with prayer. Now, I'll share this with you. Many years ago, when I was just a young Pentecostal, I was in my fourth grade then, and being a Pentecostal, Pentecostal Holiness Church used to be so, it used to emphasize so much on prayer, fasting, seeking the Lord, and that really helped me in the early years of my Christian life. But then I used to wonder, you know, some people would go in church and someone would pray from morning. Maybe he's been at church from 8 hours and he's just praying. He's just praying. 12 hours is still there. 14 hours is still there. You know, because if you know Mtendere, where holiness is, it's along the road to what used to be known as KwaZulu Grocery. It used to be a well-known grocery store. So sometimes you find your parents send you to go buy something. You're passing there. You're able to hear it say, oh, there is brother so-and-so who is praying in there. You go back, and maybe later in the day again you've been sent to go buy something. You go back later on, again you hear, oh, he's still praying. And so, you know, that kind of put a certain desire in my heart to say, well, I wish I could spend time in prayer like that. And now, guess the next exercise. One day also, as a little boy, I think then I was in the fifth grade, I wanted to find out how people are able to get the keys and go to church to pray. Because there used to be a house nearby the church. It used to be opposite the church. In case anyone wants to pray, you just go ask for the keys. You go and have your own time of prayer in the church hall. So, well, I thought, I can do that also, maybe, you know. But I was just a little boy. So I went over to that house, and I requested for the keys, and I entered the prayer hall, and it looked so big because I was looking at it, you know, without people sitting in the pews, and then I was all alone. Strange experience, you know. So I locked the door, and I wanted to pray like the man I always used to see praying, because that church had serious intercessors. And I am so thankful to God for each and every one of them. They shaped my prayer life one way or another. So, well, I went on this. It was just a day in a week, you know, within work days. Maybe, you know, you find you are on holiday, you're not going for school that time. And so I said, okay, I'm going to have time for prayer. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And you know what? I checked time. Only 15 minutes had elapsed, and I felt like, well, it's been 2 or 3 hours, you know. I checked time, and I'm thinking, hey, you know, the day is still long. Okay, so I start singing a little song, and then all the words finish, and it's 30 minutes only. And then I'm beginning to think, is God with me? What do those people speak to God all this time, you know? I felt discouraged. I felt like I wasn't spiritual enough. And I couldn't spend the rest of the day there. I just took the keys and took them back. But it still puzzled me how people were able to pray for all those long hours. You know, that is not what prayer is. What I was doing was religion. You know what religion is? Religion, you copy what another person is doing. You understand that? You try to speak to the God another person is speaking to, but actually, there's no personal relationship between you and the God you're trying to speak to. You are trying to get close to God through a ritual. I was trying to learn and to perform a ritual. So whatever time I was spending there trying to speak and all that, in my mind, actually, I wasn't speaking to God. I was speaking words in an effort to measure up to a certain standard I had made for myself to say, that is prayer. If I could pray like that, I think I'll feel spiritual. And when I spoke some words and all that, and I felt all the words have run out, I don't think I'm good enough. What was the good enough about? What was my ruler? What was my measurement? The other person I saw was praying long prayers. Could couldn't I remind myself that Jesus spoke about this? Remember when the Lord talked about it? He says, don't be like the hypocrites, right? They stand in places for people to see them. They speak many words in prayer so that they seem to be spiritual. You remember when the Lord said that? Now, the Lord says, when you pray, go to your closet, right? And the Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. That does not mean you try to look around for some small private space in your house and all that. It's really not about that. But the Lord Jesus is speaking something, bringing something to our attention about what prayer really is. Now, here is what usually happens to me, if you would permit me to just share this experience. Well, I wake up at usually different times, but usually 4:30, my eyes go open and then my day needs to start. And so when maybe it's 5 o'clock or 5:30, I'll rush here and I just want to have time with the Lord. This is not time like the way we pray when we're together. When we're together, we can worship the Lord, we can dance in His presence, and then later on someone says, okay, now let us do this and that. But your personal time with the Lord, you really want to have a heart-to-heart conversation with the Lord, right? Amen. Okay? Because you see, God knows that which concerns me. And there's no better feeling than being in the presence of Him who created you, and you want to pour out the issues of your heart to Him. There is strength in that. Amen. So, well, usually, no matter how busy my day is, I find strength in that. So I'll start speaking to the Lord. I'll meditate. I want to reach a point where my heart reaches a point of brokenness. You know, where you go into not just speaking and praising God, but where you feel the inner door of your heart, it's a handle, you can feel it, it has moved, and I'm now speaking with the Lord. It's a beautiful experience. And you know, whenever you have that, every time, it was it the day before yesterday, I was telling my wife, I said, you know, I now have a problem. When I go in the presence of God, and I'm praying, and I'm trying to fellowship with Him, by the time I'm done, I say, wow, you mean 3 hours, 4 hours is already gone? And then I'm thinking, I wish I could have another hour. But then there's a lot of business for the day that you need to do. And I remember the other day after coming from prayer, I said, okay, if I can just, as I was just about to leave, a thought dropped in my heart. I needed to read something in the scriptures. And as I was reading, my eyes were opened to something, and then I grabbed a paper and started writing. And that became a sermon, actually. And then I found myself putting back everything and praising God, worshiping Him for this inspiration and revelation which revealed to my heart. The Lord willing, I'll be sharing it on Sunday. You know, it was a wonderful confirmation. Yesterday, I had to take my wife down, and I started sharing to her, you know, because it was very exciting to my heart. Then you look at time, you say, oh, 3 hours is already gone. Wow. And then you find yourself praying again. Before you realize it, you've been 4 hours just speaking to the Lord. And you don't feel like, oh, that was a long time. You really feel like, you mean time has passed? Now, when I was thinking about it, this is what I said to her. I said, you see, my mind went back to the way I used to struggle as a young boy to pray. I used to wonder, how do people pray? And when you think about it, you won't laugh at the disciples when they ask the Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. Because today, if someone says, how do you pray? Teach me to pray. I mean, it will look like, hey, you're an amateur. You know, are you a believer? Do you have the Holy Ghost and all that? But hey, we still need that question today, because it may surprise you that many believers may seem to know how to pray, but when you look at it closely, what many believers go through is a ritual. You know what a ritual is? It is something you are used to. If I say, let us pray, hallelujah, Lord, I praise your name and all that, and your mind really is not in tune with the God you're speaking to. That's a ritual. That's a tradition. And all tradition is darkness. Did you know that? Did you hear what I say?
Amen.
All tradition is darkness. I don't care how spiritual it looks. When God was revealing himself to Brother Branham, he says, if you will be sincere, that's what God is looking for in every generation. Hearts which are sincere, not the hearts which have learned the art of speaking, the art of singing, the art of praying. There's so much artwork today. Correct?
Amen.
The problem with artwork is it lacks sincerity. It is just a practice. That's what it is. Amen. But the thing is, prayer, like I was sharing to Sister Nora, I said, you know what? Prayer is not a ritual. It's not religion. Prayer is a relationship. Everyone say prayer is a relationship. Relationship with who? God. Right?
Amen.
So, as a young boy, I used to wonder when someone says, the Lord spoke to my heart. I said, oh, I wish I could have that experience. The Lord spoke to my heart. Well, today, a lot of people still say, the Lord spoke to me. But do you know much of it is just a phrase? It's just something which has become part of believers' language. The Lord spoke to me. The Lord speaks to people who walk with him. Walking with the Lord is quite different from walking for God. You know, you can be walking every day for God, trying to do some work for God. But Enoch, what did he do? He walked with God. Walking with God is a walk with a friend. When you meet your best friend, I know we have friends. Oh, when you start chatting with a friend, your stories just keep bubbling and they keep coming. You know one thing with a friend? You don't plan what to speak. You speak things from your heart, right? Now, do you know that we can have a walk with God where you can relate with God intimately? I don't know if some people will be offended with this, but I've often wondered, many times when the presence of God comes down, maybe in a meeting, in a church meeting, and maybe people are worshiping, people are completely lost in prayer, and the presence of God is moving. Have you noticed there'll be some people who are capturing it on Facebook Live? You've seen such? It's not a doctrine, but I don't encourage it in this congregation. No matter how wonderful and nice the worship is intimacy with the Lord. And I don't understand why you should be having time to fume others whilst full communion with God is going on. Well, it's good to take a picture here and there once in a while, but I'll tell you one time, it so happened, I think that was in a convention, the Holy Spirit is moving and people are rejoicing and people are worshiping the Lord, and you have a lot of people also, about a quarter of the people there with their phones, they're doing this. Someone, the Holy Spirit touches them, maybe they're crying under the power of God and you are doing that. Really? Do you think it's the right thing to do? I don't find it right. When we are praying and speaking to the Lord and our minds are yielded and surrendered to him, you know what? Forget about your neighbor. It's not time to. When we are in the presence of God, and you have so much consciousness of what is happening to another person or what is going on with the other person, well, you may need to check yourself. Because personally, when the move of God is on, I completely forget about whoever person is in there. I want God to speak to my heart. I want to be immersed in what God is doing. I don't have time to start thinking about you. Praise God. Now, Enoch walked with God. This was not a religious walk. This was not a ritual. Now, here's something. Do you know that true prayer, when you pray in spirit, remember what Jesus says in John 4:24? God is spirit. That's what he is. And they that worship him must worship him in and spirit. You can't worship God in the flesh. When you try to worship God in the flesh, what you are doing is an artistic display. Like today, you have a lot of artists who are trying to be worshippers. There's so much which is called worship, but really it's just art. There'll be meetings, they call them a meeting for artists. You've seen that in Zambia, right? Artists. Even worshippers now are artists. For them to come and do a performance, you pay them. And they'll spend so much time on how their vocals and their voices can bend and twist here and there. And it's been so much glamorized. But if you have the Holy Spirit in you and you have any little discernment, you will know that this is not worship. This is art. There's a very big difference. Worship is not art. Worship is worship. Now, one may have a talent of singing, and we're not saying that is bad. A person can be gifted in singing. He can spend time rehearsing. You can even have a music team where you want them to sing good and nice. Yeah, that is good. That is wonderful. That should be encouraged. But when we are in service and we are worshiping the Lord, we need to know that we need to use that skill to worship the Lord and not to do a performance. Praise the Lord. And when we walk with the Lord, prayer is no longer about physical locality where you are. When Jesus says, go in your little room, you know, like Brother Nice was preaching in Norway, I think, this isn't about physical location. It's about that space within you which has a door and it can open up to communicate with the Lord. So real prayer transcends space. It's not about location, where you are here. Are you in the mountain? Like that Samaritan woman. Jesus says, a time is coming when it won't be about this mountain or that religious site, but people worship God in a manner of worship which God seeks for. And what's that worship? Worshiping God in spirit and in truth. What is Jesus saying? A time is coming when it won't be about, let us go offer sacrifices to Jerusalem. But we will be able to see the doorway to heaven. Remember Jacob? He had that experience of a dream, right? What did he see? He saw a staircase from heaven. Angels coming and going up. And what did he call that place? He says, surely this is a gate of heaven, right? It's a what? A gate or a doorway to heaven, isn't it? Because you need to know that a human being has a desire to search for the supernatural. That has led to the development of different philosophies. Some people will go for, what do they call that? This thing of meditating. You know, they want to meditate. They try to do this. You've seen those symbols. They call it yoga. Someone will just be seated like that. They want to access that realm of peace. You know what human beings are trying to do? They're trying to find the gate to that heavenly realm. Others try to search for it through meditation. Others even try to do it through fasting. Others try to do it through all these religious practices. Blessed is a person to whom that gate of heaven is opened upon him. Although man searches for that gate, it will never be found by you searching for it. It's the gate which opens to you the way it opened to Jacob. And when Jacob saw this supernatural displaying to him, he says, wow, this must be a sacred place. This must be a gate of heaven. And you know, he consecrated that place. Whatever Jacob was doing, that is what he understood at his time in the framework of his thinking. But I love the expression he used, the gate of heaven. What is the gate of heaven? It is that revelation God opens up to reveal himself to you. The heavens have opened up to you. And it's the greatest blessing you can experience when heaven has opened up to you. But where can we find such a place? Is it a physical locality? Where can we find the closet in which we can commune with our Heavenly Father? It's in your heart. When you walk with the Lord and you're so close with Him, you can speak to the Lord and commune with Him in the kitchen, in the bedroom, even on a bus, public transport. You can have so much noise all around you, but you're actually speaking with the Lord in your heart. That is something I saw in Brother John Mark, John Mark Lauzi. Well, he once stayed in our home. How long a period was that, Nora? Was that 2 weeks? You know, we were able to have time with him much closer. And well, there's something to learn when someone is a servant of God, a great servant of God. Try to observe and learn some things. You'll be helped. Amen. If I had a privilege to be with Paul, Apostle Paul, I mean, I would want to know, how does he pray? How does he do his mission work? Now, when I look at John Mark Lauzi, if you haven't read his testimony, please read the little book we did, John Mark Lauzi, A Light to Karamoja. Well, that was just a summary, but living and staying with Brother John Mark was quite an experience. A number of things to learn. When Brother John Mark is in his bedroom, maybe from morning to later in the afternoon, now I'm not saying you have to do what he used to do. You may not even hear his voice. Is that so, Sister Nora? You won't hear his voice when he's praying. And maybe you enter his room, you may just find him seated. Brother Silungwe had an experience where, if my memory serves me right, that should be Brother Silungwe. He says, I think it's the time they had gone to Choma, because from here, you know, they would visit places. He comes back here in Lusaka. And he says, well, there was a time he was seated with him and he was waiting for them to go, you know, for him to go to the bedroom. And so Brother Silungwe is, you know, is there. You are with this visitor and you want to keep company with him. But he says he was just like this, you know, on the sofa. You know, like someone is seated and is just passing time to let her wake up and then go to his bed. And so until, I think Brother Sulunga was trying to tell him, so, oh, Pastor, I think you can go and sleep. Then he must have said something to the effect saying, no, I wasn't sleeping. I was speaking with the Lord. Are you able to see how deep that is? Are you able to see that? He's just quiet. And he says, no, I was actually speaking with the Lord. And during one sharing, when we were with him at home, I think that was a home sale or something, he mentioned something about that. He said, you can be doing many things. You can be cleaning plates. You can be in a busy place. And your heart is still speaking with the Lord. Now, those of you who remember, there was a time we had gone with Brother John Mark to the mountains to pray. We took him with us to have a quiet time there. I don't know how many were there. Are there any here who are there? Oh, Sister Nzima, you were there. Yeah, I can't remember the others. I can't remember whether Brother Mansa was there. Now, the way it is in the mountains, you know, this one goes to his place to pray, this one goes to his place to pray. What did you observe about Brother John Mark? Sister Nzima, do you remember? Any observations you made? Yes. For much of his time, he was just seated, speaking to the Lord like a person. I'll tell you this other experience I had. When I first heard of Brother John Mark, I visited Karamoja. I went there. I wanted to see him. For me, wherever I see God is doing something, you like it or not, I'll make my way there. I just want to be part or to come close to wherever I see there is the move of God. Amen. And hey, before I went there, I had a dream, and oh my, was it fulfilled to the letter. Now, when finally I moved there, and I was glad to have met these believers. He didn't have the church in Moroto. It's not like, oh, this is a very big congregation. It was a service during the week, and they put a simple shelter there. And it was time to pray. There were other visiting brethren from Kenya. I can't remember who their names were. So now, it was time to pray. I think someone had given a request. Yeah. I think someone had a headache or something. So, well, someone says, okay, let us pray. And I was sitting near Brother John Mark. So, and well, people are praying. Now, this sounds funny, but hey, I learned a very deep lesson. You know what I heard next? Now, it's a thing where you want to prepare yourself, you want to start praying. Now, Brother John Mark was like this. I'll demonstrate this. You know, it's a thing where I think I'm seated here, he is here, he's sitting like this. So he is sitting like this, and people are praying. So I heard someone talking. He says, headache is very, very bad. Very painful. No, Lord, you heal the person, Lord. Now, I got confused. I thought someone is talking and conversating as we are praying, you know? I mean, it sounds like a casual conversation, right? He says, no, headache is very painful. And, you know, you know, the way you complain when you hear like something bad has happened. You understand what I'm saying? So when I opened my eyes to see, the brother was praying. You know how he was speaking with the Lord? Like he's speaking to another person. You know what I learned? I realized this man was so close with the Lord Jesus Christ that there was no drama or artistic expression to the way he was trying to speak to the Lord. Well, the moment we start speaking to the Lord, now, please, don't you go to your home or you are in church and you start doing what I was telling you. What you'll be doing will just be another ritual. What puts flavor to your prayer is your sincerity.
Amen.
You understand that?
Amen.
Because they're equally servants of God who will pray in a certain way, and there's nothing wrong with that. The question is, are you sincere when you are speaking to the Lord? Are your words coming out of a heart which is broken and a heart which is contrite? Praise God. And don't be mistaken about it. Yeah, Brother John Mark could scream too when he's praying or maybe doing certain things. The question is there sincerity in what we are doing? And no matter how quiet, no matter how low, no matter how loud, if our prayer is in tune with our spirits and the presence of God is there, that's what the devil fears, when the presence of God is there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is my prayer that the way Enoch walked with God, God may, that, well, we may draw closer to God in such a fashion, you know, until God can hear our thoughts. God can do abundantly above what you ask or think. That's not a dirty mind. Those are not dirty thoughts. That's a mind which is in communion with God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shall we stand? It should be concerning to us all. When you see a group of people as a church, when we become religious without spirituality, and that is the danger of the church today. That's the danger the end time message is in. The end time message in its present state and form is everything denominational except in name. This church building you are seeing is worthless if it is not a house of prayer. When I say a house of prayer, I don't mean religious sentiments and all those things. May this be a place that when you come, you can have a moment to speak to the Lord intimately, not popcorn prayers. So, oh, Lord, bless my day today, guide me. And most of us, we pray because we want to ask God for his protection. Lord, protect me from accident. Lord, protect me from witchcraft. Do you know there are believers who pray for food so that God consecrates it in case there is something wrong with it? Hey, if that's the reason why you pray for food, you still have a Catholic mindset in you. Well, let me not mention Catholics. Maybe they don't have that in their syllabus. But I'm speaking that because that's the mind I used to have as a child. When someone says, oh, did we pray? Did we pray? The urgency wasn't really like, hey, did we thank the Lord? Did we thank the Lord for this food? It was about, hey, did we pray so that there is protection? If your prayer is merely a charm for protection, if in Jesus' name is just that mantra you speak so that in case there's a demon around it, he hears it and devils go away, you don't have a relationship with God, you really take prayer as a weapon. Oh, in Pentecostalism, there's so much of that. They're even quite dangerous prayers. Have you ever heard of them?
Yeah.
I think there's a book. They're quite dangerous prayers. Oh my, there's grammar. If you are poor at English grammar, go in there. You hear bombshells and military terms which are used, speaking against powers of darkness and all that. Prayer is not really a weapon in the sense people use it today. Prayer is a relationship with God. Do you know when you are in relationship with God, you won't spend time wasting your energy on binding the devil and casting the devil and doing all sort of things. You read the book of Psalms. Do you know the book of Psalms is a collection of prayers? Did you know that?
Amen.
Read the book of Psalms. Those are prayers David, Asaph and his sons and all those people were making to God. In there you find prayers when David was in distress, when he was in danger, when people were attacking him, or moments when he was rejoicing in the presence of God. Tell me one line in the book of Psalms where David is addressing the devil, binding and casting him. Oh my, in the days of charismaticism, we learned dangerous prayers, things which were very unscriptural. We were told whenever you are binding a devil, you need to, the way Jesus said, go in the swine, in the pigs, don't bind the devil without loosing him to a location. And now, when we are casting out devils, we used to think about which location, where do I send this devil? And now we thought, okay, I think, I remember a colleague saying, me, I cast them to Kilimanjaro. So now you find this one, he says, I bind you devils, go to Kilimanjaro. This other one says, I bind you, go to, what's the name of this mountain where I used to go? These hills we used to spend time in prayer with. Chamba Valley. I bind, cast you to Chamba Valley. I wonder what's happening to those who are in prayers in Chamba Valley, if all these load of devils are thrown there. So prayer just becomes gymnastics, and it gets reduced to empty imaginations. Now, you know, imaginations are very powerful. They make you see things which are not there. You start binding and you are imagining that these three devils around you. Before you realize it, as you are praying, you look like a martial artist. Binding and releasing somewhere and all that. And this thing sounds funny, but they've reduced a church environment, not as a house of prayer, but as a house of hallucinations. The presence of God is powerful. If people can pray so sincerely and invite the presence of God down, you realize that the presence of God is what chases away devils, is what brings healing, is what brings the liberating power. The liberating power you are talking about, that when I start my day with prayer, speaking to the Lord, there's this feeling of peace. That should inform you and I, brethren, that when we walk with the Lord, it will build an atmosphere around us. A person who is angry, when they come in that space sphere around you, they come in contact with a liberating presence of God. But when that presence is not with you, there are all these dark clouds. This world is very dark, I can tell you that. When we walk in these workplaces, these are dark environments. When you see what troubles people, and then when you don't carry this presence of God around you, you also get entangled up with an atmosphere. When you read the Bible, Saul, before he became king, hey, there was a time he was walking and he found a company of prophets. They were prophesying. What happened to him? He started prophesying, right? He went in this atmosphere where there were prophets, and what happens? This atmosphere, this spirit had an impact on him, and he also started prophesying. He went in this emotion of finding himself, you know, under this presence which was there. If the presence of the prophets could do that, it means these prophets, I believe, used to carry a presence with them. Right? And when one enters the cloud of their influence, they found themselves getting excited under that presence. It once happened in one of Brother Branham's testimonies where he was telling these, the early years of Brother Branham's ministry. He told the people, the young people he was with, he says, well, I don't know if they were all young, but it was the early years of his ministry and they were all packed in this vehicle. And he told the brothers, he says, as we're going to move there, we'll find a man. As we try to speak, ask him of a certain road and direction, he told them, watch what will be happening to his eyes. His eyes will start like rolling like that. He says, it's because of the presence of the angel who is with us. And for sure, when they reached that place, they found this man and they tried to ask him, and he was like, and they were able to see what Brother Branham had told them. What did that? They were moving with the presence of God. They may not have felt it, but it had an impact, so other people were coming in contact with it. What the presence of God does, likewise, evil spirits also carry an atmosphere. You understand that? And brethren, that is why it's so important to walk with the Lord. You can be a believer. That ugly presence of devils can still move in your spaces. Not because there's anything wrong with you, but because the devil always waits for any moment to sift your mind. But you need to take a deliberate step. No matter how you feel sleepy, say, I'm feeling sleepy, get up, throw the blanket away, because life is a spiritual warfare. You just get entertained with the sleep, you are spoiling your day. You are spoiling your destiny. Wake up, be in his presence. Take a hymn book. Start singing. Don't pray the way you feel. To say, I'm not feeling like praying so much. It's not about a feeling. It's about let everything that is within me praise the name of the Lord. You need to bring your body under the command of the Holy Spirit. Start singing. Start worshiping the Lord. Start thanking the Lord for the day he has given you. Before you realize it, your mind, that thing you thought it was just a lazy feeling, it will go away. That thing which was speaking to you, you know, you can't really pray, you find it goes away. Before you realize it, a liberating presence comes in you, and now you'll be having a difficult on how to stop. Why? The Spirit has taken over. Always follow that, because the Spirit is always willing, but the flesh is weak. Choose ye whom you follow. Will you just follow the weakness of the flesh? It's the same attitude you carry when you come in church. If Brother Tenson is here and is leading, say, oh, let us praise and worship the Lord. And you just choose to respond according to how you feel. That's not right in the house of God. When there's a person leading, that's the commander we are following. If he says, let us rejoice, let us praise the Lord, you go ahead and do that. If a person says, we're going to pray for this request, it's not about, me, I don't feel like, hey, that's the flesh. Pull your mind together and say, flesh, I'm being directed here and we are praying. Just do 1, 2, 3 steps, the way Peter walked on water. You see, your spirit would have soared like an eagle in the sky and it will catch the current. And you find yourself praying. You find yourself casting away every negative thought. Before you realize it, you walk out of that service feeling blessed, and you'll be able to hear what the Lord prepared for you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, shall we thank the Lord and pray? Let us commit this evening. Let us commit, pray the way the Holy Spirit has ministered to you. Hallelujah.